It's good to be here. We always enjoy coming to this conference. We do miss seeing Brother Bowen. We want to remember him in prayer. We thank the church for everything that you do. See the Brother Ryan only preached about 30 minutes. Don't plan on the same. If I only preach 30 minutes, it's because I'm not feeling well or something. The theme of the conference for the last several years has been "We See Jesus." Know how we need to see Him. His person, His work, His glory is the subject, is the theme, the message of the Word of God. As we open the Word of God, we see beautiful word pictures of Jesus Christ, both in the Old Testament and in the New. We need to always be seeing Him. We need to see Him in a way that has a lasting impact upon our entire being. We need to see Him in a way that transforms and shapes our thinking, our attitudes, and our lives. We need to see Jesus very clearly as we live in this world. And I believe as we see Him, that we are brought to the place where we need to be. So whatever our circumstances, whatever our needs this evening, we know this for sure. We need to see Jesus. In this message, we want to see Jesus in places of need. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, we read the phrase, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." From that verse, the very name of Jesus speaks of human need. The very name speaks of our greatest need, the most dire need of mankind. The name Jesus points to the condition of man. We're in bondage to sin. It's also a name that states God's promise. It's a name that is the revelation of God's provision, God's remedy for man. So the name Jesus describes His being, describes His character, His attributes, His power, His purpose, for He shall save. But the name Jesus links God to us. It's a name that links God to us and to our needs. The name Jesus is a saving name. It's a devil-defeating name. It's a healing name. It's a conquering name. But again, it's a name that associates Him with us and our needs. The name Jesus, of course, is a manifestation of God's love. But once again, it links God to us. So the first thing we want to see this evening is just in a general way. We see Jesus all through the Gospels in places of great need. Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 19, this is Luke's account concerning a man by the name of Zacchaeus. We want to only notice the first few words of verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, and when Jesus came to the place, was that not a place of great need? Now notice over in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and verse 23. Again, we just want to notice a few words. And when Jesus came, and when Jesus came, Matthew chapter 17, in verse 7, and Jesus came and touched them. Notice in John chapter 4, John chapter 4, verse 46, so Jesus came. Matthew 11, verse 17. Then when Jesus came. You see the same thing in John 20, in verse 24. We see Jesus going to various places. We see this all through the gospel. And everywhere Jesus went was a place of need. When Jesus came. Those are wonderful words. They are wonderful words because wherever Jesus went, He was who He is. Wherever He went, He was who He is. Wherever Jesus went, He was God. Wherever He went, He was the Creator and the Sustainer of all. Wherever He went, He was the Almighty, Able One. Wherever He went, He was the Omniscient One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wherever He went, He was superior and beyond and above all. Wherever He went. Wherever He went, He was the Deliverer. Wherever He went, He was the one and only way to God. Wherever He went, He was God's cure. And He was God's solution. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus in places of need. And He's always greater than the need. And that's still true tonight. He's always greater than the need. Jesus came. Again, these are wonderful words. These are wonderful words because of what is in Him. You see, outside of Jesus, there's utter destitution. But in Him is all fullness. In Him is everything that man needs. No matter what the need is. No matter what your need is tonight. Jesus is what you need. And Jesus has what you need. In Him is light. In Him is healing. In Him is the strength, the relief, the joy, the encouragement, the peace, the victory that is so desperately needed. So all through the Gospels we see Jesus in places of need. And what is in Him is always greater than the need. Jesus came. These are wonderful words because of what He does. You can read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you can follow Jesus as He goes from place to place of need. And He always did something. He always did something. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus showing up in dire places. We see Him showing up in places of impossibilities, places of great wretchedness, coming into the needy and desperate lives of men and women and children of various backgrounds. and showing them pity and care and tenderness and kindness. All through the Gospels we see Jesus. We see Him in places of death, and He brings life. We see Him in places of darkness, and He brings light. We see Him in places of unrighteousness, and He brings righteousness. We see Him in place of thirst, and He brings refreshment. We see Him in place of brokenness, and He brings mending. In places of debilitating sickness and disease, and He brings healing. In places of desperation and helplessness and hopelessness, and He brings hope. Amen. In places of weakness, and He brings strength. In places of distress and sorrow and heartache, and we see Him bringing joy. In places of fear, He brings courage. In places of defeat, He brings victory. But all through the Gospels, we see Jesus in places of need, bringing about deliverance, bringing about transformation, bringing about satisfaction and peace and assurance and optimism and joy unspeakable. We see Him in places of need as the one who can, making the difference that only He can make. And we see it over and over and over. Now we want to see Jesus in some specific places of need. We're going to refer to a lot of verses. Each one of these verses is a series of sermons in itself. The comments will be very, very brief. We want to get the idea. We want to see Jesus in places of need. We're taking these more in chronological order. But in John chapter 4, in verse 46, so Jesus came. I'm not going to read the whole verse, but so Jesus came into Cana of Galilee. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. That's a place of need. And in verse 47, and when he heard, that is when the centurion heard, Jesus was come, he went unto him and besought him that he would heal his son. And in that place of need, Jesus healed this man's son with a word. All he had to do was speak. And it was done. Mark chapter 1, Jesus is at the house of Simon and Andrew. And we read in verse 32, and at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and were possessed with devils. This is a place of need. And in verse 34, and he healed many. There's Jesus in the place of need. And people are healed. People are healed. Mark chapter 2. Jesus is back in Capernaum. And we read in verse 1 that he was in the house. And Jesus, in that place of need, a paralytic man was carried to that house by four of his friends on a cot. And Jesus enabled this man to walk. And he didn't have to be carried home. He walked home. He ran home. He skipped home. He hopped home. But there was Jesus in that place of need. And this man who could not walk now walks. John chapter 5, in a place called Bethesda. There was a man there who had been crippled for 38 years. He had nobody. He's in great distress of soul. He's living in discouragement. And Jesus came to that place of need. And this man was made whole. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 9, we see that Jesus went into their synagogue. And in verse 10, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. But Jesus, in that place of need, restored that man's hand. So there he is again, in a place of need, doing only what he can do. Luke chapter 7 and verse 1, we're told that Jesus entered into Capernaum. We read in verse 2 of that chapter, and a certain centurion's servant was sick. He was ready to die. That's a place of need. When someone is sick unto the point of death, that is a place of need. In verse 2 or verse 3, when this centurion heard of Jesus, he sent some of his servants to him. And in verse 4, and that when they came to Jesus, they besought him. They pleaded with him on behalf of the centurion, on behalf of the centurion's servant. And Jesus, in that place of need, brought wholeness to this servant that was at the point of death. The day following, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 11, Jesus went into a city called Nain. And there was a funeral procession taking place. The only son of a widow woman. And we read in verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion upon her and said unto her, weep not. And then in verse 16, and he came and he touched the bier. He put his hand on the casket. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And in verse 15, and he that was dead sat up. So there's Jesus in that place of need. And he transformed death into life. Only he can do that. Mark chapter 5. Jesus comes into Gadara. And there's a demon-possessed man there. This man's out of his mind. This man lives in the graveyard. He's a very restless individual, filled with a legion of demons. His life is marked by sorrow. He is a self-destructive individual. He's always cutting himself with stones. He's filled with rage. He's degenerate. He wore no clothes. He's beyond human control. They tried many times to control him. They would bind him with chains and he would break those chains. But Jesus came to Gadara, that place of need, and he brought to this man cleansing. He brought to this man restoration. He brought to this man freedom and wholeness and peace. Also in Mark chapter 5, following that, we see that verse 21, Jesus was passed over unto the other side. And Jesus, in this place of need, heals a woman who had an unnatural flow of blood for 12 years. She had spent all that she had upon physicians. But after 12 years, she was not bettered, but rather grew worse. This was a great place of need. And Jesus came to that place of need. And he did what 12 years of doctors could not do. He did what 12 years of expense could not do. And we also see Jesus in that same incident raising to life the daughter, 12-year-old daughter of Jairus. Again, Jesus in places of need doing only what he can do. Mark chapter 9, verse 14, we read when he came. And in this place there was a man whose son was in bondage. He's under the control of the demons of hell. He's broken. He's shattered. He lives like a mad animal, filled with fury. His life is filled with torment and misery. He's wasting away. He too is self-destructive. But he's also suicidal. Because we see the demons would cast him into the fires. And the father told Jesus how he had brought his son to the apostles. And they could not heal him. They could not. They could not. And Jesus said to this brokenhearted and overwhelmed father, bring him to me. Bring him to me. And Jesus righted what was wrong. So there's Jesus in a place of need, and he rights what is wrong. He still does that today.
Amen.
John chapter 9 and verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And Jesus in this place of need brought sight to this man. And we hear the man saying in verse 25, I was blind, now I see. And in verse 30, speaking of Jesus, he said, he hath opened my eyes. Again, Jesus in a place of need, doing only what he can do. Luke 13, Jesus again is in a synagogue. And we read in verse 11, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She had a spirit. She had a demon that caused her a particular infirmity. Her infirmity was that she was bent in two and could in no wise lift up herself. For 18 years, don't you think she tried? Don't you think she tried everything that she could possibly think of to straighten herself up? And she would go to other individuals and get their opinions. And all kinds of efforts, no doubt, over the course of 18 years were made to straighten this woman. But after 18 years, she has spent 18 years looking at the ground. Many individuals, that's how they live. Sadly, many of God's people live that way. That's another message. But we read in verse 12, again, Jesus is in the synagogue. And I believe he went to the synagogue that day for her. And we read, and when Jesus saw her, and in verse 13 we read, he laid his hands upon her, and immediately, after 18 years, immediately, she was made straight. I don't believe this woman ever wanted to look to the ground again. That's all she'd seen for 18 years. By now she's tired of it. But immediately she was made straight. So there's Jesus in this place of need, and he looses this woman. And he turns her gloom into gladness, as only he can.
Amen.
And he still does that today.
Amen.
Jesus Christ in places of need, I'm telling you tonight, can turn your gloom into gladness. He does it over and over and over again.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 18, in verse 35, we read he came nigh into Jericho. And in this place of need, there's a man by the name of Bartimaeus. And he's sitting on the roadside. He's begging. And he's blind. And he hears the crowd. He hears the excitement in the crowd. And he knows something is going on. Something beyond the ordinary is happening. So he asks, I'm paraphrasing, what's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And this man began to cry out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you remember the people in the crowd were saying, shh, Bartimaeus, be quiet. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing us. Be quiet. And the louder he cried, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And then they came to Bartimaeus and they said, Bartimaeus, he calleth for thee. And you know the story. Jesus caused this man to receive his sight. And the first thing he saw was Jesus. Can you imagine? But again, throughout the Gospels, we could go on and on. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus in places of need. We see him giving sight to the blind. We see him giving hearing to the deaf. We see him giving strength to the crippled. We see him giving liberation to the possessed and even life to the dead. We see Jesus in places of great need doing the miraculous. We have example upon example throughout the Word of God. Matthew chapter 14. The apostles, God's own people, are in a life-threatening storm. They're being hammered by the winds and the waves. They're struggling with all their might to get through that storm, but to no avail. And we read in verse 25, Jesus went unto them. Jesus went unto them. The place of need. But he went unto them, it says, walking on the sea. The storm treader came to their place of need. Jesus comes to their place of need with the storm waters in subjection under his feet. In verse 7, in verse 27, we hear him say, it is I. Oh, how blessed when Jesus comes to our place of need and we hear those words, it is I. It is I. And Jesus not only calmed the storm, more importantly than that, he calmed their hearts. The Lord doesn't always calm the storm. Sometimes he does even greater. He calms our hearts in the storm. John chapter 11. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, has died. Oh, how they loved him. They bury him. The family and friends of Mary and Martha have gathered to their house trying to console them in their grief. But in John chapter 11 and verse 17, we read those blessed words, when Jesus came. When Jesus came. Everything's about to change. Martha first received comfort from him. And then she went back to the house and said to her heartbroken sister in verse 28, the Master is come and calleth for thee. How many times we've experienced that in our own time of need. The Master comes and calls for us. The end result would be a peace that passeth understanding. Luke chapter 24. There are two disciples on the Emmaus Road. They're sad. They're discouraged. They're frustrated. They're living lives of defeat. Their confidence in Christ and their passion and their ambition and fervor for Christ has all vanished. Christ is in the past to them. And we read in verse 15, Jesus himself drew near. Jesus himself drew near. And in that place of need, Jesus would reveal himself to them. And those hearts that were so filled with unbelief now believe. Those hearts that were so burdened, the burden's been lifted. Those hearts that were so unhappy, joy unspeakable, now fills their souls. Their hearts that were so discouraged, they're now encouraged. They were so fearful, and now they're filled with courage. They were so pessimistic and hopeless, and now they're filled with optimism and assurance and conviction. They were so defeated. Now they have victory. And those hearts that viewed Jesus as a past memory have come to see and to feel the reality of Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord can do in places of need. John chapter 20. The apostles, with the exception of Thomas, they're assembled behind closed doors out of fear of the Jews. As you look at them, they're joyless. Their hopes have been shattered. Their enthusiasm has evaporated. Their passion and their zeal has fizzled. Their assurance and their confidence has withered away. And hanging over that place was a thick cloud of intimidation, confusion, panic, worry, discouragement, and defeat. But we read in verse 19, came Jesus. Jesus came to that place of need. And once again in that place of need, Jesus revealed himself. It says he breathed on them. And that cloud of fear and distress and confusion and worry and discouragement were lifted. And they went from there filled with excitement, saying to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." Only Jesus can do this. Again, there's so many more examples. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus in places of need. But most importantly, do you and I see Jesus in our places of need? We need to see Him. We need to see Him. I can read these accounts and we can put ourselves there. And we can see Him. Yet, many times in my own place of need, I can't see Him at all. We need to see Him in our own places of need. Right now. Right now in this building, there are needs, there are more needs than you and I know. There are cares, there are burdens. There isn't anyone here that doesn't have cares and burdens. There are difficulties. I mean, is there anyone here that doesn't have difficulty in their life? There are problems. It could be health problems. It could be marital problems. Children problems. Financial problems. Job problems. There's no end. There are problems. There are sorrows. There are heartaches. There are situations that are overwhelming. There are trials and tribulations. There are pressures. There may be confusion. We all, whether we will admit it or not, have some anxiety. We have some worries. There are disappointments. You live long enough, you're going to be disappointed. And you don't have to live too long to be disappointed. There are disappointments. Some cases there's chaos. And there's turmoil. There are temptations. We all have sinful flesh. There are temptations. There are storms. Some may be facing taunting and intimidating giants on a daily basis. These things are real. There are battles of all kinds. There are struggles. There are battles and struggles going on right now. At this very moment. There are what seems to be insurmountable obstacles in the way. There may be darkness. There may be loneliness. Serving the Lord can be lonely at times. There are those who may be dealing with change. Change is not always easy to deal with. There are those who may be experiencing upheaval in their lives and uncertainty. But make no mistake about it. All of these things are present. Right now, at this very moment, there are those in the depths. There are those sitting here, and you know that you're down in the depths. Perhaps no one else knows about it. You put on a good show, you put on a good face. But there are some down in the depths, living in a spirit of defeat. There are those who kind of wander in the desert. There are those who may have some empty places. Might be some in the furnace. There are those who are facing what appears to be a dead end. A dead end. There are those who are trapped and stuck in horrible places. It's not hard to get stuck in some horrible places. There are those who are fearful. But every single one of us at this moment find some of these situations to be very present and real in our lives. But whatever is going on in your life, in my life right now at this present moment, do we see Jesus? Can you see him? Oh, how miserable. If all you can see is your circumstance. Oh, how we need to see Jesus in our places of need. And seeing Jesus in our places of need will fill us with faith. It strengthens our faith. I mean, how can your faith not be strengthened? Seeing him strengthens our conviction. And you see Jesus in your place of need. You know who he is. You know what's in him. You know what he does. That'll fill you with conviction. That'll fill you with courage. That'll give you assurance and a peace. It'll give you hope. Fill your life with thanksgiving and praise. And from all of that, I believe we can draw the conclusion that many don't see him. Many of God's people don't see him. You know, it's easy. You and I can talk to someone else who's going through a trial, has a burden in their life, and we can tell them, depend on the Lord, trust the Lord. And that's true. That's always true. But as we say that to them, we have our own needs and we're not doing it. We don't see them. Oh, that God would enable us tonight to see Jesus in our places of need. We all have those places. We live in those places. But when we can see him, everything changes. It changes our entire view of our need. Because he, like no other, can turn the gloom into gladness. He, like no other, can lift the burden and lift the weight from off of us. He, like no other, can calm our hearts in the storm. So the question is tonight, do we see Jesus in our places of need? Brother Green.